Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David, see, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the nations. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of you, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thornbrush, you will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. I hope you noticed how much attention Trevor and I gave to our wardrobes to coordinate so beautifully. Obviously, I'm slightly smarter. I've tucked my shirt in. Let's pray. Lord, may we hear your word this morning, receive your word, and be transformed by your word. Amen. So, we are starting a new series this morning, and I had an email from Matt just to remind me about that a few weeks ago, and it read, Dear Matt, our new series is on a pest. I thought, oh, gosh, so you've been listening to a few too many gardeners' question times. Is this a sort of follow-up to our flourishing series, and we're going to be looking at all the reasons why we might not be flourishing? And by the way, a mole's not really a pest, is he? But I just look at his little face. When I was Googling pests, I mean, you know, if your lawn's immaculate, maybe it is. But look at that little face. That's not a pest, is it? But just thinking briefly about flourishing, because we finished that series now, I just felt it important to say that perseverance is really important when it comes to flourishing. It's not an instant thing. And you'll recall the parable of the sower, where the seeds which sprang up but had no root withered. So let's keep persevering and growing our roots in all those aspects of flourishing that we looked at, relationships, work, prayer, reading the Bible, holiness, all the other things we looked at, because growth does take time. But back to Matt's email on our new series, I read on, it's always a good thing, and I found that a pest actually stands for apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. APEST, see? And this comes from a passage in Ephesians chapter 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And wouldn't it be amazing if God's church worldwide, including us here in St. Francis, were equipped to serve, built up, united in faith, knowing Jesus and expressing the fullness of Christ to the world. And Paul says that's why Christ gave these roles, why he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, which are gifts of God's grace. So we'll be exploring what they mean for us, and we're starting today with prophets. And I wonder what image springs to mind when you hear that word. And I think for most of us, it's probably firmly rooted in the Old Testament, with a bit of Hollywood thrown in, wild hair, big beard, unusual dress sense, pessimistic view of the future unless God's people change their ways. But if we look more closely, we'll see that prophets and prophecy are all about God's word, which is why we had Isaiah 55 as our reading today. But before we look more closely at that passage, I want to start with verses that you'll be familiar with from the very beginning of both John's Gospel and the letter to the Hebrews. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And from Hebrews, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And the key, I think, to understanding prophets, particularly in the context of the church today, is to understand that God speaks. It's in his very nature, communication and love between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is intrinsic to the Trinity. God spoke the universe into existence. I'm going to bring a little bit of science into church now. Physicists have identified four fundamental forces that hold the universe together: the strong and the weak nuclear force, electromagnetic force, and gravitational force. Without those forces, the universe wouldn't exist. And Hebrews tells us that God's powerful word sustains those. And throughout history, God has communicated his love to human beings. But God could only ultimately fully communicate his love for us by communicating himself in the person of Jesus. The Old Testament prophets were looking forward to the incarnation of God's word in Jesus Christ, the complete and sufficient expression of God's communication to us, God's love for us. So when Jesus began his ministry, he read from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to declare the year of the Lord's favor." And when he'd finished, and everyone was looking at him, he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is the living embodiment of the Word of God that had come hundreds of years earlier to the prophet Isaiah. And because God has sent his living Word in Jesus, a New Testament prophet is fundamentally different to an Old Testament prophet, because God has fully expressed himself in Christ. And we have God's written word, the Bible, which signposts us to a living relationship with Jesus and through which God continues to speak to us today. So whereas an Old Testament prophet would look forward to the full revelation of God's grace, the role of prophets in the church today is to draw us into a deeper experience of God's grace. And by experience, I don't mean an emotional response, although it might be. And I don't mean some kind of sort of transient spiritual high. By experience, I mean encountering the reality of God's grace in our lives and being changed. As the Ephesians passage says, equipped, built up, knowing Jesus more, expressing the fullness of Jesus to the world. And our passage from Isaiah 55 is a beautiful description of what happens when God speaks. And I think we can draw out of it some principles that apply whether you're hearing God speak to you for yourself, directly to you, you're hearing God speak to you for somebody else, to share with somebody else, or hearing God speak to you through somebody else. So how did it start? Come, all you who are thirsty. We need to recognize our need. God made us for a relationship with himself, and nothing else will satisfy that need in us. Give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live. We need to listen to God's voice. His word brings life. When Jesus asked the disciples if they too were going to desert him, Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Know that you are loved. Nothing you can do will make God love you more, and nothing you have done will make God love you less. You are loved. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts." We need to let go of the stuff that shuts God out. And that includes thinking that you don't deserve God's love or that God wouldn't speak to you. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Know you are forgiven. Jesus has taken away your sin on the cross. And then this beautiful description in the passage of the action of God's word. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Receive God's word, trusting that it will achieve his purpose. It cannot return to God empty. It will accomplish the purpose he sent it for. And God speaks in many different ways. Perhaps a particular verse might come alive. Perhaps a picture might come into your mind. Perhaps a specific insight. And it may be to share with somebody. It may be to keep between yourself and God, to enable you to pray more effectively for someone. It may be so that you can help someone in another way. Perhaps through a gift. But the outcome of God's word will always be to draw us closer to Jesus and to build us up. And that's a really good way of testing prophetic words. And I believe that we can all hear from God and that he can speak through all of us to bless others. But perhaps Jesus has a special gift of grace for you in this area. And I would really encourage you to pray and step out in faith if you get the sense that might be the case. And so just to close, did you sort of see how the end of the passage in Isaiah 55 echoes Ephesians? Surely you will summon nations you do not know, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. You'll go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of us transformed and renewed by God's love, reaching out to a hurting world around us, drawing in the lost to experience God's grace. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. God, through prophets, speaking his word, equipping us for works of service, building up the body of Christ, reaching unity in faith and in knowing Jesus, and expressing the fullness of Christ. Amen.